Hello and welcome to another rousing edition of Trending Topics with BB. I am your humble host, Brooke Brown, hence the BB. Well, we are back, finally, with new episodes for 2024. If you have been following on the website, and we made an announcement at the end of 2023 about the first episode guests, this is still the plan for 2024, but there's been a little shuffle with how I'm releasing the episodes, as you will see. But nonetheless, I thank all of my guests for joining me on the podcast, as always. And if you're a new listener to this podcast, welcome. Please log on to our website, trendingtopicswithbbpodcast.com. There you will find all the platforms to all of the places where you can listen to this podcast. You can also listen to this episode that is going to be posted there, as well as find all of the social media accounts where you can follow this podcast. And if you are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the platforms where you can leave a favorable rating or review, I would appreciate it if you do that. It helps this podcast be found by other listeners like yourself. Well, disclaimer, this episode was actually recorded in January on the 20th anniversary edition of The Groove Cruise. I was attending along with a lot of these artists that I had the pleasure of interviewing. And as you will hear, my voice was pretty much gone because by day two, I had been yelling, screaming, talking, having the time of my life, and my voice kind of went out. So you may have to turn it up in your speakers, but without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Tim Clark. He is a entrepreneur, businessman, father, and now a DJ and producer who has released on Cold Harbor, and we will discuss all of that. So without further ado, I give you my wonderful interview on the balcony of a cabin of Groove Cruise 2024 with Tim Clark.
Well, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for doing this.
Yay!
Yeah, fuck yeah. So, awesome. So, like, what I want to start with is, before we get to playing and joining the Cold Harbor fam and all of that, I want to talk about your success in the business world real quick.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Because it's very impressive, very admirable, and I just kind of want to see how you go from your success in the business world to now fucking tearing up stages.
I like that. Tearing up stages, good. I own a company called Trade Block, and I've owned it for about 8 years. I've been self-employed for about 20 prior to that.
Okay.
And I have a college degree. University of Iowa.
Nice.
Degree in marketing. And, one thing led to another in my business, and it's doing quite well. I mean, it's worth about $150 million.
Damn.
And and I'm CEO. We have probably 500 to 1,000 employees nationwide. And, maybe worldwide. I'm sure we have some scragglers out around the world, too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people work from home. And I'm in the credit and debt management business, Trade Block it is. And what happened during COVID? So COVID actually blew my business up.
Okay.
Where everybody, I was making,
when everybody was
going down, yeah. I was going up. I think I was doing about $200,000 a month prior to COVID. Then after COVID, doing $5 million a month. So because we do credit and debt, what happened during COVID? No one paid the bills.
Yeah.
And everybody went in debt. And yeah. Everybody messed up the credit. So it kind of took our customer pool from this size and made it everybody.
Right.
So now we just draw from everybody. And everybody needs our services. And things are doing great. We probably cater at probably 1,000 new clients a month. We probably work with 100 law firms. And so it's financial. And from that, I also own a worldwide travel agency called Travel Club IQ, who is sponsoring the EDMA Awards this year. By the way, I'm the title sponsor, and which is, you'll find that out when you go to Ultra, and I own a gold mine in Zimbabwe, and then I own a marketing company in Hong Kong. So when it's all said
you're
and done,
busy.
I got people run that stuff.
Okay.
So basically, I was able to take a step back, and you never retire. In fact, I tried to take too far of a step back when I started DJing, and the company kind of went, so downhill a little bit. So I'm probably about 50-50 DJ in my company, my DJ career. And it's not, people go, wow, you're older, you became a DJ. It's not odd what I did. You know, I could have retired and played tennis, or golf.
Right.
In fact, I live in McDonald Highlands in Vegas. I am actually a golf member of the country club, so I could play golf, chase a white ball all the time, sit on my front deck and watch Netflix and wave at cars all the time. But I chose to be a DJ, so it's not odd what I did. It's just odd what I chose. Now people my age.
It depends on who you talk to.
That's true. We're in the DJ world, right? Yeah, so it's not that odd, right?
It's not that odd. I think it's cool. Like, I don't think age has anything to do with it.
You know, the thing was is that I knew I'd be good. You know, kind of people like us are kind of good at everything. You know, play some ping pong or some golf or darts. You know, I just didn't know I was going to be, you know, superstar good. Right. I didn't know I was going to be that good. And it's funny, when you first start, you know, everybody thinks they can sing in the shower. You know, but it's the difference between singing in the shower and going up and playing American Idol, you know, and singing up on stage.
Yeah.
So in my first year, you know, I'm like, God, I'm asking people, am I good? People, yeah, you're good. I'm like, but these people work for me, you know what I mean? So I'm thinking they're just saying it because I paid them.
Right.
And then it wasn't until like last year's Ultra when people like Armin Van Buuren and Marcus Schultz and, you know, when those people, yeah, you're pretty good. when superstars started telling me I was good, then I realized, okay, I'm good.
You got the validation.
Yeah, I realized that. So then I decided, okay, I had the guts then and the courage then to go at it full speed. If you know anything about my personality, it's either I win or it's nothing. It's either 100% or I don't play.
Right.
And I also don't play anything I don't, I'm not going to be the best at. The truth of the matter is, DJ was just going to be a bucket list for me. You know, I think my goal was when I first tried it was to play a club or a festival. And after I did that, if I was to do that, I was just going to like, I'm done, and to go maybe climb Mount Everest or Balloon Ride or own a Formula One racer or a Kentucky Derby horse. I was good. It was just a bucket list thing.
Right.
But like I said, I didn't count on being really good, and so I'm like, oh man, I got a talent for this, and so I keep going. And also, I like writing music. I have about 50 originals.
Yeah.
So we've got about 12 originals that are released. Cole Harbour's released about 6 of them. Perfecto's releasing 3. And then I have Black Hole Accordions and Warner releasing probably the rest.
That's awesome.
Over the next 2 months, so I'm gonna dump a lot of stuff on there.
A lot of new content.
And then also I'm nominated Best New Artist EDMA Awards. So, you know
so
what?
You're hitting the ground running.
Yes.
So what drew you to this type of music? Because you could have gone into another part of the industry.
What
about electronic music?
Well, I've been doing this. I've been watching fan electronic music since 2005. Oh. So about 18 years was my first. So how surreal is this? My first EDM event was Avalon, 2005, New Year's Eve, to see my favorite DJ at the time. My guys and I got in a car, and we drove from Las Vegas to L.A. To see Marcus Schultz.
Yeah, of course.
And then this year, I just played Avalon, New Year's Eve, Marcus Schultz.
I was there.
it's surreal.
Yeah.
It's real. You know, the first time when I walked up Rabbit Hole Circus, and, you know, I walked up, and he said, okay, it's your turn, kid. I'm like, oh, shit. It's surreal.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a poster of these guys on my wall, and all of a sudden, I'm playing with them, so it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you think that's a big reason why this community and this type of music is what it is because of the invitations from those?
Well, I think, you know, electronic music just draws people, and I think it just hits our primal core. I think as a species, we need to be community, and I think we need to be have, you know, African, like, those kind of beats going. Like I said, I've been a fan for 18 years. I played classical piano for 8 to 10 years when I was younger. So I've always been into music and sports, and, you know, I don't know which one was better, but I unfortunately lost my chance to be a quarterback for the Chargers, so that's a joke. but I somehow was able to become a DJ, so that's good.
That's awesome. So now that you're achieving your bucket list and you're hitting the ground running and you have a lot of music out, we're here on the Groove Crew celebrating. What do you look for in longevity with your DJ side of things?
I gave myself 10 years, and I'm 3 years into it. So I said this is out. So I got 7 more years. So I just said to myself, I just set my goal high. You know, my goal is to be number one in the world. And, you know, you reach for the stars, you hit the moon.
Right.
So if I ended up number 40th, there you go.
I don't see why you couldn't.
No.
I mean.
I think I should. I might be able to bust into DJ Mag next year, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, when you had that moment of getting the validation from Armin or Marcus, out of all of the things that you've accomplished in your life, was that something that's in the top five?
I would say something that was surprising. I would say it's in my surprising top five. Life top five, and I have two little girls, that's number one.
Okay.
Getting married, I have my wife, I have two little girls, and I have my company, and I have, my validation is that I've helped a lot of people become really successful from my business, and I think that for me, the best thing that helping other people become successful has been would be my top five. As far as this goes, it's just kind of a personal thing.
Right.
Yeah, which I really enjoy.
So in that case, not to kind of go a little dark for a second, but if you, out of all of the things you're doing in your life, all of the things you're proud of, if you were to have a tombstone set today, what would you want written on it?
It would say a great father.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yep.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
9 and 4.
All right.
Yeah, I'm older with two little girls.
Well, that's not my point. My point is just like, for their careers and what you're seeing.
I have a DJ coach. Her name is Zina. Okay. And she actually was the one that got me on board with my academy. She's teaching my older daughter, 9, DJing, and who's really, really good already at 9 years old. I guess she's going to be my Charlotte DeWitt. but I have and then, of course, my little daughter, 4, I want to DJ too. So it looks like I'm going to have a family of, of course. My wife DJs, we call her DJ Boo.
That's awesome.
So I guess we have a whole family of DJs. Nice. It's a family of DJs right now. So constantly my decks are just going.
So is there a specific track that you discovered back 18 years ago that's when you hear it, you just get goosebumps, or it takes you back to a memory?
You know, I got goosebumps yesterday because I played Lethal Industry. I did a remix of Lethal Industry that's not been released yet, and it gave me goosebumps, and that's cool that Tiesto's playing today, but I was a fan of Tiesto, Marcus, Ferry Corsten, Armin, you know, Sasha, Digweed, Solomon. I mean, these are people that I really enjoyed back then and have enjoyed since. What got me excited then? I like Punk by Ferry Corsten. I like Shivers by Armin van Buuren. Yeah. I always like Traffic was my first song I liked about Tiesto. Marcus, Without You Near, was the first song I liked with that. I just saw Dave Dresden yesterday, and Tracking Treasures Down was a favorite of mine from the way, way, way past.
That one, or As the Rush Comes?
The Rush Comes with Jess. Yeah, Motorcycle. Gabriel Dresden also. So, Dave Dresden told me yesterday, he goes, you know what, it's been so long ago since I did Tracking Treasures Down, I can't even remember that's my song. He goes, he hears it for the first time. He's like, who did that? I'm like, wow. I guess that would happen if you did a song 20 years ago and you forgot that you were the one that even made the song.
Right.
So it's like he feels detached from it now. It's so long ago.
I actually got to podcast it with him yesterday. Yep. And he's talking about those old tracks and what they've done for his career.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, say, you said 10 years is your goal.
Yeah.
10 years from now, do you want fans such as myself, like, to, you know, I have tattoos, you know, in honor of Marcus.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, in honor of Marcus.
I never expect you to put my tattoo on your body. I mean, Jesus. I mean, if you want to, go ahead, but damn.
Well, what I'm saying is,
maybe my daughter can do that. That'd make me feel good.
What type of hope for resonation with your fans do you see?
Like I said, I just want to make my kids proud. I just want to... I don't know. Fame is not my thing. It's not about fame. Maybe it's fame in terms of achievement.
Right.
Because maybe fan recognition means if you've made it. I'm very achievement motivated. So in that regard, yeah. But, you know, I don't want my fans to be like the Marcus Army. I don't need a trance army. I don't need a cult. I just want to do what I do. It's fun to get up there and play in the moment. You know, when you're doing this as a retired person, you don't think about tomorrow. Every day is cool.
Right.
Plus, I don't have to worry about the money. So it's a very surreal, you know, it's a very surreal.
You're not chasing it.
Like, I'm not chasing it at all. And also, I think it's come to me so fast because I'm not chasing it. That law of attraction.
Right.
So I don't chase it, and so it just finds me. I don't need it to pay the bills, so my choices aren't dictated by that. I like to put on songs that make me happy, and I like to go and play in front of crowds that get me excited. So
when you've, you know, played on the cruise, or I saw you both times in Avalon those last few months, when you look out into the crowd and you see the people just, like, having a good time, what is that euphoria like?
It's best when they're doing it to your song. Like, say I play Wake Up, a song that I wrote that I play. When they're getting off and dancing to the music that you do, oh, that's really cool. But like yesterday, I don't know, it just comes in a moment. I lay down that, like I said, I play that Lethal Industry track remix that I did, and ooh, I got goosebumps. So it just spontaneously happens. You can't really plan it. But for me, I like it best when people... I like it best when people are really dancing hard to the songs that you write and produce.
Yeah, and what is your thoughts on, the debate in music of... I mean, there's always going to be debate on everything, but, like, when you're putting together a set, other than, like, obviously you want to showcase your originals, but what kind of, like, way of putting together a set that motivates you to just go hard every time?
I probably... Depends on how long the set is. You know, I have about... We have about 20, 30, 40 originals. You know, you get limited. So, you know, on an hour set, I would probably do... Let's say there's 16 songs. I'd probably do 10 originals and 6 other people's songs. Hour and a half, I'd probably do about 18 and... 18 to 7, and 2 hours, you're probably half of the originals, half or not. I like playing originals, but we are DJs, so we should play other people's stuff. I just play a set, psychology and being an empath is kind of my thing. I'm really great at reading the crowd. Like yesterday, or the 2 days ago when I played on the cruise here, I was had a set of... It was an hour they gave me. I had 16 originals all ready to go. And I got out there and I just threw the script out, just freestyled the whole thing and ended up about 10 originals and 6 other people's songs. Because I felt like a crowd kind of dissipated. I had to like bring them back and pump them up.
Right.
So everybody has a plan until they get hit. You know what I mean? So I go out there. I always go out there with a plan of what I want to play, but it usually changes all the time, and it ends up that I never play the same set twice.
That's great.
In other words, I can put down 22 songs that I want to play in an hour and a half. It becomes half of that. It never really ends up what you plan. It's always a freestyle thing. I'll think of the first song. That's the only one that maybe I'll set in stone. And even then I'll walk up, heck with that, and play something else. So no matter how hard you plan for a set, things will change on you.
So, you know, Marcus,
for me.
Marcus is synonymous with marathon sets, as we call them.
Sure.
Do you think he would ever...
No way. I don't know what I don't know what his adrenal gland's like. I don't know how he does it. I mean... I'm just
he's
happy.
Play 6 tonight. It's gonna be epic.
Yeah, I'm just happy that I get to take an hour, hour and a half out of to give him a break. You know what I mean? I think he's never done that before.
Nope.
He's never ever put another DJ in his marathon sets. I'm the only one he's ever done it with, and I don't know why. He has a special affinity for me. So, but I'm just happy he doesn't drop dead. I mean, I could do 3 hours. 3 hours is my max.
Well, and talking to Marcus over the years,
he tells me adrenaline.
Yeah. And
I go, where do you pee?
He sweats it out.
He says he has such much adrenaline going that he can't, that he doesn't feel like anything. And by the way, Marcus is drug free.
Yeah.
So, which is what the heck, dude? At least take a testosterone shot.
Yeah. he's on another level. And when
I don't know how he does it, yeah.
Yeah, so. That's crazy.
That. I know how he does other things, but I don't know how he does that. I don't know how he does...
You know, just the long sets.
I don't know how he does that. Three, like I said, 3 hours is my max.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty good extended set. So like,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, Mark is consistently doing 10, 11, 12 hours.
I think I played 4, 5, or 6 once, but that was more of a house party situation. I think I never was contracted for that, so I 3 hours max.
Well, in terms of like the type. Like, you know, the Cold Harbor sound. What drew you to that kind of sound?
I've been a Marcus fan since 2005. So I had no... It was just auspicious or crazy coincidence that it happened to be his lair that I fell into. Right. walked into his tent accidentally.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that he just, you know, that he picked me. I'll tell you what, trance is my first love. I fell in my mom's womb being able to play trance. What I'm proud about is I didn't teach myself how to play house and progressive and tech and dub and that stuff. I didn't teach myself that. Trance, I could play that from the day I was born. It just comes naturally to me.
You mentioned you play classical piano.
Yes.
So to me, trance is the...
They say it's the root of it.
Yeah.
They say classical music is the root of EDM music.
Right. Yeah. Specifically trance.
Yeah. You know. I like songs that are like real techie, and all of a sudden, boom, they break out into a trance, kind of like "Come With Me" is like one.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden,
yeah.
You're like, that doesn't belong in that. I like songs that have those two different flavors in it. So,
like, moving forward, like, you know, you're releasing a lot of music right now.
Yes,
a lot. You think you'll do like a full album, or you'll keep with...
I could do an album right now. I've done a couple EPs. I have 30, 40 I could release right now. I could do an album right now. I guess in today's market, the album's cool and all. You know, someone who's Armin has got 400 songs out there. Now he's just artist album. But I think in the beginning, and I think the plan is they want you to drip it once a month, a track a month. Drip, drip, drip. Drip.
Yeah.
So I think in my stage of my career, the drip drop method non-album thing is the best way to go when it comes to streaming. Because I can drop an album. I can drop 3 albums right now if I want. A triple album. I got 36 songs. Boom.
And the variety that you're releasing on different labels, do you think that's helping as well?
I don't know about that. It happened that way. Black Hole, Warner, self-releases. But Paul Oakenfold picked up 3 of my songs. And then Marcus picked up 5 to 6 of my songs. And then Insomniac's thinking about picking up one of my songs. So, which is kind of cool.
That's, you get a variety of...
Yeah. Well, Pasquale and some people up there, they're friends of mine. They come over to my house all the time and we hang. Which is kind of wild. It's wild that my other side, which is Vegas multimillionaire, has given me access to people that...
You didn't think you would.
Wow, that don't mean difference. That you wouldn't as a DJ if you're 26 years old and just trying to break in. You know, I mean, these guys, you know, they're my friends. So hey, Pasquale, you're like, yeah, I'll take that song. You know, and they'll come over to have barbecue with me. So, you know, it's the owner of EDC, so it's crazy.
Do you want to play at EDC?
I did twice this year.
But continue to.
Yes, absolutely. Vegas, you got to play Vegas EDC if you're in Vegas. I mean, that's like... That's like being a senior in high school and not being invited to the prom. You know what? I want to be. If I'm in Vegas, if I live in Vegas, definitely got to play Vegas EDC. So I played that. I played Orlando this year. I'm looking at playing Ultra Japan, Ultra Europe, Tomorrowland this year. I'm going up in Seattle in a month and playing alongside Morton. Zook is in Vegas. The club has asked me to play 5 days with DJ Snake. They're afraid I'm gonna outplay them, so they don't. I don't know if they'll. Yeah, they got a little concerned that I'll bang it out, not lay up.
Yeah,
because it's not. I don't like laying up. Hey, you got to play at this BPM? No fucking way. You know. And then what else I got going on? Oh, right when I'm done with here, Marcus and I leave for Bangkok.
Damn.
Yeah, you're playing that. Yeah, the Vindy nightclub with Marcus in about 3-4 days in Bangkok, Thailand. So that's kind of cool. And, I got stuff planned. Oh, 11 has asked me to do a residency, hopefully. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say that, but every Thursday we play a residency at 11. And they want to see that the first time that I play was the fluke, so they're going to test drive me on March 3rd, 20th, which is Ultra. And I play two events at Ultra, including the iHeart Music Festival, Black Hole recording event. And then I, of course, play 11. And then I think they're going to have me play, they got me scheduled 3 dates at 11. And after that, they're going to see if they're good enough, they're going to give me a residency there.
Nice.
But they also want to see me perform out from under the shadow of Marcus to see if I can do it.
You can do it.
Hell yeah, I can do it.
I mean, I don't know why.
And these are their words, not mine. So that's what they told me. So maybe I'm not supposed to be talking about that stuff.
Well, it's up to you.
But that's what they said. Let's see if you can play without the training wheels.
So that's awesome. So you have a busy schedule ahead.
Busy. And that's just now. Marcus's agency at Total Vision Talent.
Yeah.
You know Mike.
Yeah.
And then Liz Sin, which is Timmy Groovy's wife. Right. She's my dedicated agent. So he brought in a dedicated agent just for me. So I have a feeling they're going to fill it up. And if I win Best New Artist, like John Summit did, Joel Corey did, that's the last 2 years. If I win it this year, MDMA's Best New Artist, I have a feeling that bookings will come fast and furious.
And then DJ Mag and just keep going.
Yeah, well, DJ Mag, that's another issue I can't discuss. But it's.
I mean, I'm just being optimistic.
I'm looking. I had an article. I had a full page, whatever, and every DJ Mag this year. So I'm already in DJ Mag, and rankings are coming soon.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to take. You know, you want to get on the beautiful island.
Go out and see Tiesta.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Tim, for joining the podcast.
Rick, you are the best. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. And looking forward to everything this year.